Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you for hanging around with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. I hope you'll go there soon. Go early and often. Be sure to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I hope you'll enjoy and take advantage of all the free resources that are on our site. And they're all made available to you thanks to my organization and our outstanding corporate partners. And so I hope you take advantage of that. Paul Casey is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Paul's a member of our Brain Trust. He's CEO of Casey Communications. He's the author of a book I'm looking at, is Self-Employment for You. You've heard him on the show before, and he's got some new information he wants to talk to us about today. Paul, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Jim. Pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. And, you know, Paul, the Gallup poll folks came out with a survey that you found, and it's very interesting what they found, and I suspect some of the information that you've got might surprise folks, but basically, I bet the audience, small business owners listening, probably won't be so surprised. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what they found?
Well, the Gallup poll in March of 2005 found that 57% of the people right now would like to own their own business or run their own thing in self-employment. I don't think that is earth-shaking per se, because I think people along their lives at some point consider this. It's just whether they actually take the step to do it. On the flip side of that, too, though, the Small Business Administration has statistics showing that over half the businesses fail when they go into the first year. And so that's just another glaring statistic that kind of they meet head-on.
There's another statistic out there. The Global Entrepreneurial Monitor polls people all over the world, probably tens of thousands of people all over the world once a year. And Zoltan Ach is the editor of that and the developer of that. And they found that 1 in 12 Americans is actively planning to start a business. You said, I think your number says that 57%, I think it was, would like to be in a business, but they said that 1 in 12 were actively working on starting a business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
and
even
I think
another.
That's very consistent with what I've read before, but a little less than 10% are doing it, getting things up, getting their business license, and really actively pursuing it. Yeah,
they haven't quite gotten there yet, but they're in the process. And the things I remind people about, Paul, is that if you have 12 employees, one of them is planning on leaving you and starting their own business.
Interesting. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So anyhow, it's rather interesting. And I know listening to your show and what you put out, Jim, you're trying to always increase people's prospects for success if they decide to do that by the
advice. Maybe, one of the things we do, and I know you do too, Paul, is sometimes I talk people out of it.
You know,
because everybody, this is not for everybody, is it?
That's correct. It's timing could be a matter of the issue. It could be a lot of different things. And actually, Jim, that's exactly what my book is about, is self-employment for you. My goal in the book is not to talk you into it or out of it. When you complete the book, I'm trying to put you in a much more powerful position to make that determination for yourself. And I ask people to consider questions and think about things that they may not really think to look at. And one question would be about personality traits. Mm-hmm. And it's not the business master's degree in business that I think ultimately will determine. It's what type of person you are. Like, for example, if you're looking at doing something like this, and it really doesn't matter what the product or service is so much as it does, how are you going to execute? And that's a question I would have for someone. If you're looking at doing something like this, and you look to your past and your present, one question I'd ask is, do you execute your tasks? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all great to have wonderful concepts and ideas, but unless you can bring them to market and actually execute, it means absolutely nothing.
I call that, can you deliver on your dream?
That's another way of saying it, but it's right on target.
And you know there are a lot of people out there who have no problem with the dream, but making that dream happen now, or at least making it happen to the point where they could find out if it was a good idea or not. That's a whole different thing than just coming up with an idea, isn't it?
That's right, and that would be something to look at and evaluate that honestly. I mean, but if your basement's half painted and you just can't seem to get things done, I would look at that as a red flag. That's
yep.
all. I would say you need to improve there.
Right.
Another personality trait would be, are you a decision maker? Can you make decisions? And that's a big one. You have to be able to do that, not be afraid of making decisions.
When we come back after these messages, I'm going to ask Paul about what the American worker thinks about being a business owner today as compared to 10 years ago. I think you'll find some interesting information there. 22, we'll be right back with our good friend Paul Casey. He's the author of Is Self-Employment for You? Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Jimi Hendrix on vocals. Classic. Leonard Steinberg is our guest. He's a classic, too. He's principal of the Steinberg Group, and he's telling us about his testimony before Congress. We're just about to wrap up that part of it, I think, and then we're going to move on to the content. But, Leonard, you were telling us that in the last at the last minute, virtually, you were given not 5 minutes, which you were originally promised, but 4 minutes, which meant you had to compress your all these. I mean, you'd already cut every word possible out of your testimony, and you were down to just the absolute most perfect and most important words. And now they're telling you you can't even say all of those. That must have hurt your feelings a little bit.
No, it didn't, because remember, I'm dealing with members of Congress.
Well, and remember, you're from New York, so that's another.
Yeah, that's true.
So you were telling us that Congressman Manzullo, Chairman Manzullo, did something just before you spoke.
Yes, as he was leaving to go to the floor to vote, he said to all of the remaining participants that he would be back in 15 to 20 minutes because he wanted to have a quote-unquote, a town hall meeting, and he wanted to hear more about our testimony. So those who decided to stay stayed, and sure enough, he was good to his word. In about between 15 and 20 minutes, he returned, and he returned alone. The other members of the committee were not present.
Mm-hmm.
And true to his word, he came back and he convened his town hall meeting, but it was very, very unique because instead of sitting up at his chairman's chair, he sat directly across from the witness table
mm-hmm.
as if to have a conversation with him.
Right. He's that kind of guy.
And he then spent the next hour, that 60 minutes
wow.
of his time, speaking to each one of the participants to get more information about our testimony, how we arrived at it, what our thoughts were regarding the tax code, its complexity, more about our testimony, and his questions were very pertinent. They were very accurate in what he was trying to educe from us, to get from us regarding information, and he was extremely knowledgeable about
right.
the subject that we were to testify.
He takes small business very seriously. Leonard, did you actually give your testimony?
Well, yes, I gave my oral testimony, which was somewhat different than my written testimony.
But they weren't there when you did it.
Or
were they
there? Not there.
They had gone. You gave your testimony after they left.
No, sir.
Oh.
I had given my 4 minutes.
Oh, you already had given that.
I had given 4 minutes.
That's good. So you got to do it in front of them. That's the main thing. Let's talk about the content. Now, you were there. The IRS has identified something called a tax gap. Now, define that for us.
All right. The tax gap is the difference between what the IRS collects and what the IRS could collect if everyone filed their taxes
and paid
their taxes accurately.
I prefer to think of it this way. It's the difference between what they collect and what they think they should collect.
Well, what they should collect is 100% of everybody's income.
That's what I'm saying. That's their idea. But the truth is that it seems that they've identified a little bit of a boogeyman in the form of small business as being the culprit for the tax gap. And you took issue with that in your testimony, didn't you?
Yes, I most certainly did. The amount of burden that is put on the small business person, and I'm a small businessman myself, is just extraordinary. From the types of rules and regulations we have to follow to run our businesses, from the time we get up in the morning till the time we close the doors on our business at night, and even those of us that are small businesses, you know, you work just about 24/7 with just a few breaks when they're absolutely necessary.
And you get paid if there's anything left over. Sometimes.
Well, at least you hope there's something
you
left
hope to,
over.
Yeah.
All right. And basically, Commissioner Everson had a great deal of statistics showing that most of the tax gap is caused by sole proprietors and small business people. And I took exception to that only for the simple reason, as did Chairman Manzullo, because Chairman Manzullo, in my opinion, was quite pointed in his questions to Commissioner Everson in that why go after the sole proprietors and the small business people when he's really not going after what is called the corporation types or forms that are the C-corps as opposed to the S-corps or the limited liability corporations.
Right.
And so his questions were quite pointed.
Commissioner Everson say about that?
The commissioner said that the IRS is trying to, while it's trying to do both, to reduce burden on the small business person, it's really trying to increase compliance by the small business person in order to have everyone, quote-unquote, pay their fair share. And to me, those are words that are quite hollow, because what does it mean to pay one's fair share?
Right. Especially,
here again, the statistics tell us, and I'm sure your audience is quite aware of it, that ranked by adjusted gross income, the top 5% of income people, which is, according to the IRS, approximately $126,000 of adjusted gross income, they pay well over 50% of all the taxes paid.
Leonard, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're talking with Leonard Steinberg. He testified before Congress at the request of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. And he and I will be right back. We got more to come after these messages. It's 10 till. Mr. Al Green, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm so tired of being alone.
Actually,
so tired of being
Reverend Al Green, I should say. Leonard Steinberg is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Leonard and I are talking about his testimony before Congress where he went toe-to-toe, best two falls out of three, with the commissioner of the IRS trying to refute the commissioner's notion and the IRS's proposal that small business owners are to blame somehow for the tax gap. And Leonard, I want to congratulate you on being such a strong advocate for your brothers and sisters out here in small business land.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. I appreciate that. And basically, my testimony comprised of the following topics, and with your permission, I'll go into the topics. One was the complexity of the tax code. The second part was the effect of the alternative minimum tax.
Mm-hmm.
The third was people running cash businesses, and many small businesses do run a cash basis business. The lack of understanding of the tax law, and finally, the issue of people using unlicensed and unenrolled preparers, and I will talk about that. Under the complexity of the tax code, as we both know, in 1986, there was the last major revision prior to this latest revision in 2004.
Right.
The tax code underwent a severe changes that basically simplified the tax code. But since then, the tax code has gotten...
Using the term simplified in a loosely, right?
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. And has simplified the tax... at that point, he tried to simplify the tax code. But over the years, since 1986, it has become even more complex. The as an example for your listeners, back in 1985, if they're filling out their standard 1040, there were only 52 pages to the booklet.
Right.
And in 2004, there were 128 pages to the booklet.
Yeah.
Just for the 1040. But getting back to small businesses, the complexity is as follows, and I gave this particular case to the committee. There are many organizations that will create limited liability corporations, and these are created by the individual states as a way of ensuring that the owner is separated from his personal life.
Right.
However, according to the IRS, because of the complexity of the code, if you are a single person limited liability corporation, the IRS considers you a sole proprietor.
Right.
If you are a two-person limited liability corporation, the IRS considers you a partnership.
A partnership,
and as
right.
we both know, if right. you're in a partnership, each partner has 100% liability.
Jointly and
so
severally.
Here again, the concept of the limited liability corporation falls by the wayside under IRS rules and regulations.
Right. Well, and by the way, the correct term, pardon me, I know you probably mean to say this, the correct term is actually a limited liability company, because an LLC actually is not a corporation, but that's just a small point. But the thing is you're exactly right. And the other thing is there's some question about whether in that case that you're talking about, those people should pay payroll tax on the profits.
Well, that's exactly the case. And what Commissioner Everson felt, or what he tried to bring up with statistics, was that the payroll tax is the primary, for these small business people, is the primary area of noncompliance.
Right.
Because of the fact they either don't pay their payroll tax on time, or they don't pay their payroll tax at all. And I'm sure that with many people either paying quarterly estimated taxes,
right.
That sometimes in the cash flow of their business, it becomes an undue burden. Remember that the small business person or a single entrepreneur must pay both sides of Social Security.
Right. Well, Barry, we got about 30. I mean, Leonard, we got about 30 seconds. One of the main things you were pointing out was because of the alternative minimum tax, because of the complexity, because of the unfair burden that it places on small business owners, this creates an extra challenge for small businesses that can contribute to the tax gap. And you proposed, as I understand it, that we work hard to make the tax code more fair and less complex.
That is correct. I mean, I myself am an advocate of the flat tax because I think
right.
it is the best way to handle it, but between greater education from the IRS and making the code much more simplified,
right.
that I think we will get greater compliance.
Thank you, Barry, for being here. Leonard Steinberg, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest, and I'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
Jeff, stop. Oh, what a beautiful forest. Why don't we take a walk?
I hate forests.
How can you hate a forest?
Because they remind me of my tax problem.
Since when is a forest like your tax problem?
Well, it's hard to get around in there. You can lose your way.
Jeff, come on.
Well, you have to survive on nuts and berries. You can get lost and starve.
Okay, so what's all that got to do with taxes?
If I don't fix my tax problem, I could starve.
So, get it resolved.
Oh, sure, if I could afford a lawyer.
You don't need a lawyer. Call that taxpayer advocate service I read about. They're an independent independent part of the IRS that deals with this sort of thing.
Well, why would the IRS help me with my taxes?
I don't know. Maybe they've been doing it all along. Oh, look at that beautiful maple tree.
I hate maple trees. They have all that sap.
I give up.
Waiting too long for a response from the IRS? Got problems with the balance? Call the Taxpayer Advocate Service at 1-877-ASK-TAS-1. As an independent part of the IRS, we'll see that your problem is resolved fairly, and it's free. The Taxpayer Advocate Service. That's 1-877-ASK-TAS-1.
This is the Global American Network. USA Radio Network News, John Scott reporting. Ayman Zebawi has been arrested by Iraqi officials. Zebawi is Saddam Hussein's nephew, and he's been funding terrorist activity in Iraq. And apparently terrorists in Iraq are having a problem with low morale. That's what a letter intercepted by the U.S. military and meant for terrorist leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi indicates. Fox News General Scott Heidler has more on a deadly bombing today in Erbil, Iraq.
At least 50 people were killed in that attack. The attack came at a police recruitment center, and according to police, a man entered the center with hidden explosives and then detonated them as he was in line with men waiting to sign up to become police officers. The explosion also injured at least 100 people. No U.S. or coalition soldiers are among the hurt or killed. Police recruitment centers have been a frequent target of terrorists. In fact, late February saw the worst single attack by insurgents when 110 people were killed at a recruitment center in the southern city of Hilla.
Fed has raised official interest rates another quarter percentage point to 3%. Jeff Frank, a mortgage specialist at Union Pacific Mortgage Group in Los Angeles, says the increase is a sign the Fed believes the economy is growing.
It's moving forward fairly well, with some sectors not moving forward as strongly as others. But overall, the economy is doing well. And in order to combat inflation, that's why they're raising it another quarter point.
For consumers, the rate increase means higher interest charges on many credit cards and home equity lines of credit. Dow futures down 13 points. The NASDAQ down 3. This is USA Radio Network News.
Hey, Slugger, catch!
Okay, Dad. Woo, good job.
Hey, that's my boy. You know, after our son was born, my wife and I kind of let our debt situation get out of hand. It was a mess. That's why we called Trinity Debt Management.
We called, dear?
Okay, she called. And that was smart, because Trinity consolidated our bills, reduced our interest, eliminated our late fees, and set up one monthly payment we could handle. They even taught us a thing or two about managing our money.
For many years, Trinity has been helping people find the right solutions to their debt problems through caring, counseling, and consolidation. To learn more, call 1-800-758-8319.
Wow, I'm sure glad we called. She called Trinity. Hey, Slugger, how about some pop flies?
Cool, Dad.
Trinity.
Call 1-800-758-8319. 1-800-758-8319.
It's the final day of campaigning ahead of the British general election, and British Prime Minister Tony Blair's Labour Party still leads the opinion polls.
Tony Blair's facing his last election as Labour leader, having already said he will not seek a fourth term in office. But the man widely credited with turning around Labour's fortunes after 12 years of Conservative rule is no longer seen as the party's number one asset. His decision to take part in military action in Iraq and public anger over student tuition fees and problems with the National Health Service have seen his personal rating fall. But despite that, opinion polls suggest the majority of British people would rather have him as Prime Minister than Conservative leader Michael Howard or Liberal Democrat head Charles Kennedy. With just hours to go before campaigning must end, each of the leaders will make one last effort to win support, travelling hundreds of miles around the country. Voters go to the polls on Thursday, with the election results due a day later. Suzanne Chislett, London.
This is USA Radio Network News.
Own the Phantom of the Opera on DVD. Her voice became his passion. Her love became his obsession. Her refusal...
He won't let me go.
...became his rage.
Let it be war upon you both.
Experience more of the Phantom on DVD, including a never-before-heard song. Own the two-disc special edition of the Phantom of the Opera on DVD. Rated PG-13 for brief violent images.
The crew of the Space Shuttle Discovery suiting up for a dress launch rehearsal scheduled for this morning. The seven-member crew, led by Commander Eileen Collins, will strap into their seats inside the orbiter and run through their procedures and tasks as if it really were a liftoff. Currently, the launch
planned for after July 4th. The man who tossed a chair into the crowd at the infamous basket brawl at the Palace in Auburn Hills, Michigan last November will not face jail time. Brian Jackson expressed his regret at his sentencing after pleading no contest to felony assault.
I'd like to apologize to the Pistons organization, my family, to the Indiana Pacers organization.
Jackson will serve 2 years probation. He's also required to pay $6,000 restitution. Misdemeanor assault charges against four other fans and five of the Indiana Pacers will be addressed in July and August. More news at USARadio.com. John Scott reporting, USA Radio Network News.
Did you know you have the power to stop children from joining gangs? You have what it takes to help a homeless father find a job and home for his family. You have the ability to assist a woman who can't afford the medicine she needs to live and the home she can't live without. You can choose to make a difference in our community and improve the lives of so many people in need. Support Volunteers of America, and you can help improve the lives of nearly 2 million Americans each year with programs and services that help individuals and families overcome their challenges to become as independent as possible. Support the programs that are working in our community. Contact Volunteers of America today. Call 1-800-899-0089 or visit our website at www.volunteersofamerica.org.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show, brought to you by IBM. Solutions designed and built to help small business. And Office Depot, taking care of business. And now, the man who teaches big business how to help small business and small business how to compete with the big guys.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world. Thank you very much for joining us today. It's good to be with you, as always. Got a good show lined up for you this hour. Dr. Susan Resnick is going to be with us. She's a new friend, and she's a principal in the New York City-based specialty contact lens practice, and she is going to join us in just a little bit to talk to us about that industry. It's kind of an interesting industry. The older I get, the more I rely on my glasses. Of course, I have been for a long time, but you know, more and more of us have more than one kind of one set of glasses for different purposes, and I do. And one of the things we're going to talk to Dr. Susan about is that industry, how that industry is changing. One of the things that's changing that industry is the online opportunities that are available, and for some people they're not opportunities, they're challenges. Specifically, I'm talking about being able to buy contact lenses online. Should it be allowed? Should it not be allowed? It's good for some people, it's not good for other people. We're going to talk about that, and it's kind of an example of how this works for a lot of different industries with regard to online competitors, and how should you be involved in the online in selling online, or should you be fighting it? Is it a threat or an opportunity for you? And we're going to get Dr. Susan Resnick to talk to us about that. And also, I remind you that May is National Healthy Vision Month, and so we're going to talk a little bit about that too. Paul Casey, a friend of ours, is going to be back with us. Paul is the author of Is Self-Employment for You? And there's a new Gallup poll out about the American dream, business ownership, I should say. And so are you living the American dream? Do you want to? We're going to get Paul to tell us what the Gallup poll found, and I think you're probably won't be too surprised at the results. Did you know that Rhode Island declared freedom from England 2 months before the Declaration of Independence was adopted on this day in 1776? Good for you, Rhode Island. Nine after. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website. Hi folks, it's Jim Blassingame with a question for you. Did you know that Office Depot has an online technology superstore? It's called Tech Depot, and you can find it online at www.techdepot.com. Tech Depot has over 100,000 competitively priced technology products, including all of the top technology brands. In addition to desktop computers and laptops, you'll find wireless products and home networking, digital cameras and camcorders, plus the latest in storage media. And if you're looking for the latest software solutions, there's an excellent chance that you'll find what you're looking for at techdepot.com. Also, Tech Depot offers you the ability to customize your new computer using our simple step-by-step process. You choose the processor, memory, hard drive, and other components that fit your individual requirements, and Office Depot will take care of the rest. And you can track your order right online. All of this and more is waiting for you at www.techdepot.com. Thanks again, Office Depot, for helping us take care of business. Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's B-P-L-A-N-S.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, then I'll watch them roll away again.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Dr. Susan Resnick is here, too. She's a principal in the New York City-based specialty contact lens practice of Farkas, Casalau, and Resnick and Associates. And she's here to talk to us about our vision and helping us to have healthier vision. Dr. Susan Resnick, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Thank you for being here. And happy National Healthy Vision Month to you.
Same to you.
And I'm glad you're here to talk about this because the baby boomers are getting a little longer in the tooth.
And yes, I'm one of them.
Exactly, me too. And we're the largest generation of all time in the United States, approximately 80 million, maybe a little bit less, but a whole lot of folks, and we all have progressive vision demands, don't we?
That's correct.
So what do we need to know about what's new out there for our vision?
All right, that's a great question. One of the key things that I wanted to talk to you about today, which encompasses the baby boomers but also expands to the general population as a whole, is something called astigmatism. And astigmatism is something that affects actually one in four of us. And what astigmatism is, a lot of people know that they have it but don't really understand what it is. It's a very common vision problem.
And I think I fit into that category.
I'm sorry?
I think I fit into that category.
Yeah, exactly.
I have it, but I don't know what it is.
Exactly. So let me just briefly tell you what it is. It has to do with the surface of the eye, which is called the cornea, not being perfectly round, being
right.
more oval-shaped. So the analogy we use is shaped more like a football than a baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it prevents the light from being focused on the retina properly, and it causes blur. And it can cause eye strain and fatigue and sometimes even headaches. So those of us baby boomers who do a lot of reading and naturally have that occurring now, with astigmatism it can make it worse, but also children have it as well.
That's the when I remember now, my optometrist told me that, and I remember being so upset because it was when I realized that I actually wasn't perfect.
That's right.
It was the first time.
We know you're perfect. And now what's really great is that one of the things that prevented people with astigmatism from feeling perfect has been the fact that in the contact lens arena, we have not had, quote-unquote, a perfect lens. The problem that we've had over the years in accommodating people who want contact lenses and who also have astigmatism is that they've had less than perfect vision. They've been only marginally satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is that contact lenses that correct for astigmatism traditionally would shift out of place every time the patient blinked.
Oh.
And we, as you probably know or can imagine, how often we blink as human beings, we blink
right.
several times a minute. So think about when you're sitting at your computer or you're playing golf or you're driving your car. If every time that lens shifts a little bit and the lens moves a little bit, the vision goes out of focus. So we're very excited about, especially me personally, because I've had the opportunity to offer this to my patients over the last few months, a new contact lens, and it's called the AccuView Advance for Astigmatism. And this contact lens offers a breakthrough technology in lens design that keeps the lens in position when the patient blinks.
Hmm.
And so now we have patients...
What makes it do that? How does it do that?
Well, it's a new design that actually has a very, very gradual, sophisticated contouring or sloping of the lens so that the lens actually uses the natural blink motion to keep it in position. Previous designs have actually been displaced by the blink.
And there's no computer involved, right? This is not fly-by-wire. It sounds like fly-by-wire, doesn't it?
This is actually all, natural, just the natural blink.
And no nanotechnology or anything like that.
No nanotechnology. But what's interesting about how they came about with this design is they use nanotechnology to analyze the blink.
I knew those little nanos were in
there
somewhere.
There's always nanos involved because the designers of the lens actually video... use slow, videos,
mm-hmm.
and they actually analyzed it, and they did computer simulation. So they use new technology to create a very natural, subtle lens that just positions on the eye, stays there, and doesn't move. And what's even more interesting about this lens is that not only does it take a new technology in terms of it being very stable, but it marries it with a very new material. And the material is that from which the lens is made is very, very oxygen permeable.
So, folks, if you've not been able to wear contact lenses because you had an astigmatism, now, Susan, apparently you can.
That's absolutely
and
right.
So we just need to contact our favorite optometrist and have him or her get us fixed up, right?
That's absolutely right. Well, and also, for more information, your listeners can go to www.accuview.com. And it really explains more in depth about the lens and tells you, where you can go to find out more about it. So,
What about those of us who need reading glasses and we'd like to not? I mean, I don't like to take glasses on and off more than I have to, and so I wear glasses all the time
mm-hmm.
when I'm awake. And so, can it seems like I have I know someone who has one of his contacts is for reading and the other one is not, and he kind of reads with one eye. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a very common technique for people, over that magic age of 40, where it's called monovision, actually.
Yeah.
And it works very nicely. Many patients, about 80% of patients, do adapt to that way of seeing, and you can always use auxiliary glasses to enhance your vision, in other words, for driving at night or for
right.
reading. But what it does is it reduces your dependency upon the glasses a lot.
But is that the only way that we've come up with reading, being able to read, if you need that for reading, with contact lenses?
No, there are actually bifocal contact lenses available.
Wow.
These lenses are also, you know, very, very excellent. Patients are very successful. Each patient is going to actually require something different. There's no one sort of technique or modality that works for each individual. It's very prescription dependent and also very dependent upon an individual patient's needs or tolerance. So the optometrists, when they do the exam, can help best determine what will work best for a given patient.
Well, and it seems that contact lenses are easier to wear these days than they were 10, 20 years ago. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. And that's, again, to just reiterate what I said about this new lens.
Hold on to that thought, Dr. Susan. Dr. Susan Resnick, ladies and gentlemen, and I, we're going to take a quick break. She and I will be right back. When we come back, I'm going to ask Dr. Susan about the business that she is in. How has that changed as a small business owner, which she is, over the last several years? 20 after. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. It's Jim Blassingame with a question for you. Did you know that Office Depot has an online technology superstore? It's called Tech Depot, and you can find it online at www.techdepot.com. Tech Depot has over 100,000 competitively priced technology products, including all of the top technology brands. In addition to desktop computers and laptops, you'll find wireless products and home networking, digital cameras and camcorders, plus the latest in storage media. And if you're looking for the latest software solutions, there's an excellent chance that you'll find what you're looking for at techdepot.com. Also, Tech Depot offers you the ability to customize your new computer using our simple step-by-step process. You choose the processor, memory, hard drive, and other components that fit your individual requirements, and Office Depot will take care of the rest. And you can track your order right online. All of this and more is waiting for you at www.techdepot.com. Thanks again, Office Depot, for helping us take care of business.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Hi, folks. This is Jim Blassingame with good news about valuable online resources from our friends at IBM. Want to get a practical answer to your small business question by an expert member of My Brain Trust? Well, you can do that at IBM's Resource Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/sbresources. Want to see how others are using technology? Go to IBM's Online Resource Center to find case studies and articles that address many business challenges and opportunities. Want to find the technology solutions for your size business, including email marketing, web hosting, broadband, security, and wireless? All that and more is at ibm.com/businesscenter/sbresources. And then, when you're ready for your next PC system, IBM has a handy tool that will help you customize just the right desktop PC or ThinkPad system for your business. Remember, that's the IBM Resource Center at www.ibm.com/businesscenter/sbresources. Thanks again, IBM, for all you do for small business.
Little Robert Cray for you. My favorite blues man. Love those blues. Dr. Susan Resnick is with us. Susan, do you like the blues?
I do.
Good stuff. We're talking about National Healthy Vision Month is one of the things we're talking about, and I appreciate you joining us to encourage everybody to pay more attention to that and as we were saying, Susan, the older you get, the more you realize. You know, as a young man, I had one eye wasn't perfect, but the other one was, and I was able to compensate until I got into my 40s.
Right.
And I didn't wear glasses until I got into my 40s. And then, you know, things started, you know, turning. They started getting older and not functioning as well. And so I had to start getting glasses. And now glasses are a very big part of my life. And so I'm really excited about some of the new technology, some of the new capability that's available, especially those of us, you know, who try to have a kind of an active life, and we have a lot of different things we want to do. You can actually get glasses for different activities, can't you?
That's absolutely right. As a matter of fact, that's where the optical industry and the eye care professions are going, is in general now, in terms of meeting more specific expectations and requirements. You know, just like we all don't have one pair of shoes, we, you know, especially we women, you know, we'll have literally, you know, a shoe for every
different
occasion.
Well, but now that's a fashion thing, Susan.
And men as well, but you have, but eye care and eyewear is really a marriage of fashion and technology. So that we have patients who have contact lenses for specific needs and glasses for other needs and multiple pair of glasses for, you know, different activities.
Well, see, I have different glasses for different requirements, but my wife has different glasses for different looks.
Well, there you go. But men do that as well.
They do?
From experience, absolutely.
Okay, all right. All right. Well, let's talk about how your industry has changed, how your profession has changed over the last 10 years. Give us some examples of what it's like being a small business owner doing in your industry.
Well, actually, the optometric profession as a whole has just advanced incredibly, and it's more rewarding as ever. One of the key things in our profession is that we've had expansion of our professional privileges. So we're now into areas where 25, 30 years ago, optometrists at large were not. We are prescribing medications. We're treating eye diseases. We are using technologies now that are
My optometrist went back, and am I saying that correctly? He's not a surgeon, but he is an optometrist.
That's right.
Okay, and he's gone back and taken courses on how to treat diseases, just like you were talking about.
That's exactly right. We all have in all 50 states now, and we are now, we've always been responsible and qualified to diagnose and detect eye disease, but now we're treating it as well. We are still a non-surgical profession, but we treat every form of eye, you know, disease or pathology. And so what that does is enables us to, you know, satisfy whatever the patient may need to come into us for, whether it's just a mild case of pink eye or a chronic disease like glaucoma.
Or something that gets in your eye, maybe an object gets in your eye.
Removing foreign bodies, things mm-hmm. like that. There are still obviously certain things that we would refer out to a tertiary care practitioner, such as a surgical ophthalmologist. But in general, you know, optometrists now can pretty much, you know, take care of any eye problem a patient may present with. So this has been a big boost to us in terms of our professional satisfaction, as well as, you know, from a business standpoint.
Some optometry companies, some optometry professionals are unhappy about the fact that people can buy contact lenses online, and it basically, with their own prescription in hand, it basically bypasses them. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I guess there's always going to be a few practitioners who will, you know, sort of feel like they're losing out on business if patients, you know, take their prescriptions and fill their prescriptions elsewhere. But the vast majority of us, our fees are for our services. You know, we're here to spend the time with the patient, fit the lens, make sure it's fitting properly, prescribe it, and the actual material cost of these lenses is very, very low. So we don't attribute a large part of our income to the actual material of the contact lenses. So, you know, me personally, I don't find that that's a big component of in terms of loss of business,
right,
if you will. And my, you know, my desire is just that the patient come back as we recall them for their checkups to make
right.
sure that their eyes are staying healthy. That
because the older you get,
valid.
The more likely you are your vision is to change every few months or years or so. What do you think about the glasses while you wait part of the industry?
I don't have a problem with that. I think that if the quality is good and the patients are getting the proper materials and the best, you know, and are given the choices, if there are laboratories that are capable of making them up quickly, I don't necessarily think anything is being sacrificed.
Right.
you know, there are certain things that cannot be done in a day. Certain types of special anti-reflection coatings that go into glasses cannot be done in an hour.
30 seconds. I got a quick question for you. When you do exams, do you dilate or not dilate?
I dilate periodically. It doesn't need to be done at every exam, but certainly every year to two.
It needs to be done every year to two?
Yes, depending upon the patient's age and history.
Right. All right. Dr. Resnick, you want to give us that website again, please?
Yes, it's www.acuvue.com.
National Healthy Vision Month, ladies and gentlemen. May is National Healthy Vision Month. Dr. Susan Resnick, thank you for bringing this information to us.
It's a pleasure, Jim.
Yes, good job, and we'll see you next time.
Great. Take care.
Quick break, right back with Paul Casey. We're going to talk about the Gallup Poll's survey of Americans about the American dream business owners. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Hi, folks. It's Jim Blassingame with a question for you. Did you know that Office Depot has an online technology superstore? It's called Tech Depot, and you can find it online at www.techdepot.com. Tech Depot has over 100,000 competitively priced technology products, including all of the top technology brands. In addition to desktop computers and laptops, you'll find wireless products and home networking, digital cameras and camcorders, plus the latest in storage media. And if you're looking for the latest software solutions, there's an excellent chance that you'll find what you're looking for at TechDepot.com. Also, Tech Depot offers you the ability to customize your new computer using our simple step-by-step process. You choose the processor, memory, hard drive, and other components that fit your individual requirements, and Office Depot will take care of the rest. And you can track your order right online. All of this and more is waiting for you at www.techdepot.com. Thanks again, Office Depot, for helping us take care of business.
Hi, folks. This is Jim Blassingame with good news about valuable online resources from our friends at IBM. Want to get a practical answer to your small business question by an expert member of my Brain Trust? Well, you can do that at IBM's Resource Center at ibm.com/business center/sbresources. Want to see how others are using technology? Go to IBM's Online Resource Center to find case studies and articles that address many business challenges and opportunities. Want to find the technology solutions for your size business, including email marketing? marketing, web hosting, broadband, security, and wireless. All that and more is at ibm.com/businesscenter/sbresources. And then, when you're ready for your next PC system, IBM has a handy tool that will help you customize just the right desktop PC or ThinkPad system for your business. Remember, that's the IBM Resource Center at www.ibm.com/businesscenter/sbresources. Thanks again, IBM, for all you do for small business.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The small business advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you for hanging around with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. I hope you'll go there soon. Go early and often. Be sure to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I hope you'll enjoy and take advantage of all the free resources that are on our site. And they're all made available to you thanks to my organization and our outstanding corporate partners. And so I hope you take advantage of that. Paul Casey is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Paul's a member of our Brain Trust. He's CEO of Casey Communications. He's the author of a book I'm looking at, is Self-Employment for You. You've heard him on the show before, and he's got some new information he wants to talk to us about today. Paul, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Jim. Pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. And, you know, Paul, the Gallup poll folks came out with a survey that you found, and it's very interesting what they found, and I suspect some of the information that you've got might surprise folks, but basically, I bet the audience, small business owners listening, probably won't be so surprised. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what they found?
Well, the Gallup poll in March of 2005 found that 57% of the people right now would like to own their own business or run their own thing in self-employment. I don't think that is earth-shaking per se, because I think people along their lives at some point consider this. It's just whether they actually take the step to do it. On the flip side of that, too, though, the Small Business Administration has statistics showing that over half the businesses fail when they go into the first year. And so that's just another glaring statistic that kind of they meet head-on. So,
there's another statistic out there. The Global Entrepreneurial Monitor polls people all over the world, probably tens of thousands of people all over the world once a year. And Zoltan Ach is the editor of that and the developer of that. And they found that 1 in 12 Americans is actively planning to start a business. You said, I think your number says that 57%, I think it was, would like to be in a business, but they said that 1 in 12 were actively working on starting a business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
and
even
I think
another.
That's very consistent with what I've read before, but a little less than 10% are doing it, getting things up, getting their business license, and really actively pursuing it. Yeah, that's
they haven't quite gotten there yet, but they're in the process. And the things I remind people about, Paul, is that if you have 12 employees, one of them is planning on leaving you and starting their own business.
Interesting. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So anyhow, it's rather interesting. And I know listening to your show and what you put out, Jim, you're trying to always increase people's prospects for success if they decide to do that.
But maybe, you know, one of the things we do, and I know you do too, Paul, is sometimes I talk people out of it.
You know,
because everybody, this is not for everybody, is it?
That's correct. It's timing could be a matter of the issue. It could be a lot of different things. And actually, Jim, that's exactly what my book is about, is self-employment for you. My goal in the book is not to talk you into it or out of it. When you complete the book, I'm trying to put you in a much more powerful position to make that determination for yourself. And I ask people to consider questions and think about things that they may not really think to look at. And one question would be about personality traits. Mm-hmm. And it's not the business master's degree in business that I think ultimately will determine. It's what type of person you are. Like, for example, if you're looking at doing something like this, and it really doesn't matter what the product or service is, so much as it does how are you going to execute? And that's a question I would have for someone. If you're looking at doing something like this, and you look to your past and your present, one question I'd ask is, do you execute your tasks? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all great to have wonderful concepts and ideas, but unless you can bring them to market and actually execute, it means absolutely nothing.
I call that, can you deliver on your dream?
That's another way of saying it, but it's right on target.
And you know there are a lot of people out there who have no problem with the dream, but making that dream happen now, or at least making it happen to the point where they could find out if it was a good idea or not. That's a whole different thing than just coming up with an idea, isn't it?
That's right, and that would be something to look at and evaluate that honestly. I mean, but if your basement's half painted and you just can't seem to get things done, I would look at that as a red flag. That's all. I would say you need to improve there.
Right.
Another personality trait would be, are you a decision maker? Can you make decisions? And that's the big one. You have to be able to do that, not be afraid of making decisions.
When we come back after these messages, I'm going to ask Paul about what the American worker thinks about being a business owner today as compared to 10 years ago. I think you'll find some interesting information there. 22, we'll be right back with our good friend Paul Casey. He's the author of Is Self-Employment for You? Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Hi, folks. It's Jim Blassingame with a question for you. Did you know that Office Depot has an online technology superstore? It's called Tech Depot, and you can find it online at www.techdepot.com. Tech Depot has over 100,000 competitively priced technology products, including all of the top technology brands. In addition to desktop computers and laptops, you'll find wireless products and home networking, digital cameras and camcorders, plus the latest in storage media. And if you're looking for the latest software solutions, there's an excellent chance that you'll find what you're looking for at techdepot.com. Also, Tech Depot offers you the ability to customize your new computer using our simple step-by-step process. You choose the processor, memory, hard drive, and other components that fit your individual requirements, and Office Depot will take care of the rest. And you can track your order right online. All of this and more is waiting for you at www.techdepot.com. Thanks again, Office Depot, for helping us take care of business. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and visiting with our good friend Paul Casey, the author of His Self-Employment for You. And we're talking about the American dream. What do we know about the American dream? Business ownership. And Paul, what's another thought that the Gallup poll found, or another point that they found out in their survey?
Well, the mindset of someone who's going into business for themselves. 10 years ago, it really was someone who was going into business with a big risk taker. They're stepping out of their traditional job and so on. Now we fast forward about 10 years later to present, and a lot of people are going into business, surprisingly, because they're looking for stability.
Yeah.
And the fact is that, as the New York Times reported not too long ago, is that if you graduate from college today, you can expect about 11 career changes throughout your life. Mm-hmm. So the uncertainty in corporate America and the downsizing and all everything in between demonstrates that people taking this step are now looking at this more of a security blanket than they are taking a giant risk, which
well,
is a major mind shift.
10 years ago, there was still a vestige of the great 20th century myth of job security.
That's correct.
Today, that myth has completely been dispelled, and people are saying to themselves, you know, especially those people who have been downsized, right-sized, can-sacked, whatever they want to call it, you know, after something like that, they're saying, you know what, I don't need help screwing up my life. I can do that by myself.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they're starting
like
their own businesses.
Shift in how people look at going into work for themselves.
Mm-hmm. What are some another thing that that they pointed out that I've been observing and have been reporting on is the socioeconomic factors and also some of the cultural issues. You know, 15 years ago, if you told somebody you were home based, they'd look at you like couldn't find a regular job, huh? And now home based is kind of cool, isn't it?
That's right. That's precisely a mindset shift in how people are viewed. Absolutely, because say 10, 15 years ago, there were probably in the hundreds of thousands of home-based businesses per se. Now it's in the millions, and it's just growing. I read something very recently that 23 million people consider themselves like home-based contractors.
Right. Exactly.
So, yes, absolutely.
And that's on top of the 25 million small business owners out there with a shingle hanging out, you know, who have a legal a license, perhaps, and, you know, are out on Main Street, so to speak.
Yeah, and that figure is only going to continue to grow. So if you're in this mentality wanting to start your business or do something more home-based, which I strongly recommend that's what you do in the beginning to save money and keep your overhead down and grow incrementally and slow. I think a lot of people sometimes try to grow too quickly. But, yes, you're more and more with the momentum of where society is going.
Well, and the other thing that you were just talking about is if you can begin slowly, and then you can keep your day job, perhaps, and get started. And you can find out about yourself, some of the things that you were mentioning earlier, Paul. You can find out if you've got the grit to be a small business owner, if you've got the mentality, if you've got the personality, you know, if you're the kind of profile of human being that can be a small business owner. You get to sort of put your toe in the water, don't you?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like the development of the human being. You know, you crawl before you walk before you run, and you run before you sprint. So it's that sort of thing. Yeah, just test it. Start it out slow, and don't be in such a hurry. It's a long-range plan. I mean,
but
I've been
Paul,
in business
you and I both
like
know
for over 15 years now, and that's the way I look at it. I'm going to be in business for another 10 or 15 years. So that's really how you structure your business. So you don't have to put all this money up and maybe lose all that money very quickly.
But you and I both
really
know.
I really suggest that, Jim. I think you're right on target there.
You and I both know, though, Paul, that people are typically, once they get the bug, once they're bitten, patience is not one of their virtues.
And yeah, there is that point of no return once you get involved in it. And I also think, Jim, there's a lot of conflicting messages out there, like instant gratification, that people need to have it today. And I think that's to the detriment. And more we see today that sort of advertising that comes to people, you have to have the American dream and have it now. I think if you're a personality of such, you can delay gratification and sacrifice in the old American way back in the 20th
well,
century.
Well, you're talking about
to make it happen.
Your but good luck, Paul, because
will be a lot higher.
You're talking about deferred gratification is not something that's is not a commodity that is plentiful in the marketplace today. I mean, you're I hear you and I agree with you, but deferred gratification, as you know, that's an essential component for true long-term success as a small business owner. But it's not something that comes natural to in the 21st century.
I would agree. And, you know, one of the things that I feel is that, you know, we go back 200 years ago about entrepreneurs and so on. Everybody was an entrepreneur. I mean, the only jobs you had were in government, maybe, and then it was the military. You didn't have the Industrial Revolution jobs. There was no back door. You had to succeed. Today, you know, let's say you don't make it in business. Well, what do? Declare bankruptcy, or you go back to school, or you have a job, or, you know, you try to find other opportunities. I almost think there's too many choices out there. So I think you need to seal that back door. You got to really be determined why you want to do this. You need some very strong and powerful reasons as to why you want to go into business so you don't fall off the wagon, per se, and just say, well, it's getting tough. I'm going to go back and get another job. I think there's a lot of that.
You know, another thing, Paul, that I've observed over the years is that there are people who can deliver on the dream, as we mentioned a minute ago, who actually have a dream. They can create something. They can make it happen. But they might not be the right person to operate what it is that they've created. And that's a shock for some people, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, just because you're a great artist does not mean you can sell your artwork, or just because you're a great chef and can develop a great cuisine doesn't mean you can run a restaurant.
And I want you to talk about that some more when we come
back.
Hang on to that. Paul, hold on to that thought. I want you to talk about that some more when we come back after these messages. We've got to take a quick break. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Paul Casey is our guest. His book is Self-Employment for You. Hi, folks. It's Jim Blasingame with a question for you. Did you know that Office Depot has an online technology superstore? It's called Tech Depot, and you can find it online at www.techdepot.com. Tech Depot has over 100,000 competitively priced technology products, including all of the top technology brands. In addition to desktop computers and laptops, you'll find wireless products and home networking, digital cameras and camcorders, plus the latest in storage media. And if you're looking for the latest software solutions, there's an excellent chance that you'll find what you're looking for at techdepot.com. Also, Tech Depot offers you the ability to customize your new computer using our simple step-by-step process. You choose the processor, memory, hard drive, and other components that fit your individual requirements, and Office Depot will take care of the rest. And you can track your order right online. All of this and more is waiting for you at www.techdepot.com. Thanks again, Office Depot, for helping us take care of business. Hi, folks, this is Jim Blasingame with good news about valuable online resources from our friends at IBM. Want to get a practical answer to your small business question by an expert member of My Brain Trust? Well, you can do that at IBM's Resource Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/sbresources. Want to see how others are using technology? Go to IBM's Online Resource Center to find case studies and articles that address many business challenges and opportunities. Want to find the technology solutions for your size business, including email marketing, web hosting, broadband, security, and wireless? All that and more is at ibm.com/businesscenter/sbresources. And then, when you're ready for your next PC system, IBM has a handy tool that will help you customize just the right desktop PC or ThinkPad system for your business. Remember, that's the IBM Resource Center at www.ibm.com/businesscenter/sbresources. Thanks again, IBM, for all you do for small business.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
We're back. It's 7-till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Paul Casey. He's the author of Is Self-Employment for You? Paul, tell us where your book's available and give us your website, please.
Best place to get it is on Amazon.com, and you can order through my website by going to isselfemploymentforyou.net. You can also, if you'd like to, when you enter the website, you can read the first two chapters of the book to get an idea if it's for you.
One of the things
selfemploymentforyou.net.
And that's what you do for a living and helping folks understand this. And one of the things, Paul, that I'm trying to get across to, for example, I'm talking to bankers about this. I tell them, you know, anybody can start. It's easy to start a small business, but running a successful one, not so much.
Yeah, that's the subtitle of the book, is anyone can start a business, but only a few can sustain a business. And that's exactly right. And that's exactly what the book is about. And I know that's exactly what you talk about in your radio show. And you pound that over and over again. And you go back again to the Small Business Administration statistics that demonstrate that over 50% of businesses will fail. And I think the definition of insanity is trying to do the same thing over and over
right.
again, expecting the same results. Things have to change.
And one of the things, Paul, that we were talking about earlier is about whether you find out that maybe you're an artist, as you said, but you can't sell your own art. You're a great chef, but you can't run a restaurant. And you know that's a classic example of failure waiting to happen. Is people who say, you know, I love to cook and I love people, therefore I must be a restaurant owner waiting to happen. And they open up a restaurant, and they have no clue. And what people don't understand in the early days, Paul, and this is what you helped them with, and that is that there are parallel universes in your business. One universe is the thing that you do, and the other universe is operating the business that houses that thing that you do. And they're two different disciplines, aren't they?
Absolutely. And, you know, it goes back to one of the myths, I think, that you hear is about follow your passion and the money will follow. And I just don't believe that. I believe actually business is about the mundane, and the more boring it is, mm-hmm. the more success you're really having. And that's what you're striving for.
Explain that to us.
Well, you know, say the excitement, the passion part of it, I think people enter it because they think it's going to be that. And I actually think that you want to develop systems. And, you know, Woody Allen said it once that 80% of success is showing up.
Right.
And that's really what it's about. It's about becoming more efficient, delivering your product or service in a more consistent manner, and really starting out slow and making those steps. But it means paying your bills and paying the IRS and doing things like that, like your vendors. And the more you do that, the more success you'll have. And that's what I'm trying to caution people on. If you want to have excitement, go, you know, rock climbing or whitewater rafting. If you're going into business, you know, think about it as developing systems, going slow and paying your bills, and as I say, your greater success is the more boring it is.
Right. What are some other things that the Gallup poll found out about the American dream?
Well, I think some of the things that the reasons that people go into business, the Gallup poll talked about that, and some of it's, you know, a very positive reason, and just what we're talking about is that, you know, you want to do something to portray independence, and you want to bring a good service to market, and you've got the credentials to do it, by all means, do it. But then again, if it's half-baked and you don't want to do it because you just don't want to wear a tie to work or you want to work home in your Bermuda shorts or something, that's not a really good reason to want to go into business.
And if you think it's easy, folks, think again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's hard. I heard a guy...
It will develop over time, and it should get easier, Jim, as we both know. But, you know, maybe 2 to 3, 4 years, that's what you're going to be doing. That's going to be your number one mission.
Paul, last week I was in Washington, D.C.
Really think that through. But after a while, if it doesn't get easier, you will burn out. And that's what I mean when I think when you want to do the mundane and you want to be bored at it, in a sense, that means you have success. You can't keep that rate up of ups and downs and so on for a period of time. But, Jim, you're right. In the beginning, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be your number one focus.
Last week I was in Washington, D.C., and I heard a small business winner say that it was the hardest thing he ever did, and it was the least pay he'd ever made, being a small business owner.
Yeah, that's right. If you're going in there for money, yeah. I would think again. I think you're going in for lifestyle, and you got to hang with it. You know,
Paul,
I mean,
we got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here today, Paul Casey, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here, Kate. Paul, we'll
thank you, Jim.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.